be, yeah, no love at all. There will never be no love at all. I've got to put aside name segregation, yeah. I've got to put aside name organization. I've got to put aside. There will never be no love at all. I mean, there will never be no love at all. So build our love on one foundation. Come, let us build our love on one solid foundation. Got to build our love. Oh, there will never be a single drop of blue. You won't have no freedom, yeah. Got to come together. We are birds of a feather. We got to come together, 'cause we are birds of a feather.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a Saturday morning program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, enchantment, and the imagination. My name is Jim Freund. This morning, well, yes, it's a fun drive, of course, but also it's the beginning of a month long of a celebration of Ray Bradbury. 90 years old this month. Stay tuned. The Coon Sanders Nighthawks with Hallucinations. Not sure what year that was. And before that, The Space Fleet from the soundtrack of the motion picture Silent Running. Music by Peter Schickele. This is WBAI in New York City. Listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio. Broadcasting at 99.5 FM and otherwise found at WBAI.org, whether it is stream.WBAI.org or archive.WBAI.org is up to you. Oh, there is, by the way, a new way of finding the archives just of this show. And actually, if you go to my website, which is ourwolf.com, sadly in need of updating. But one thing that is relatively updated, thanks to the efforts of our webmaster, Michael Horowitz, is if you click on listen to the show, it will take you to a page which will have whatever archives the law currently allows us to continue streaming after broadcast, which is usually right now. Pacifica interprets that as being 2 weeks until this whole copyright issue of, you know, we can broadcast, we can stream, but we can't allow the stuff to be downloaded as long as there is anything copyrighted, like the music or whatever. So it's all very complex and complicated. Now, this morning I had long intended to have one of our regular features on this program, one of my all-time favorites, which is to have the writers group Altered Fluid here. And as you can tell, by the lack of commotion in the background, we do not have 11 people besides myself in the studio. Rather, I am besides myself. And besides myself at having to postpone that. That will be in September. And our reader this time out will be Kay Tempest Bradford, who has been on the show solo and, of course, is a part of the Altered Fluid group. She was also here with various people involved in the Chicks Dig Time Lords anthology of essays. Met somebody else at Ken Gale's party who has a Doctor Who essays book. That sounds like it's ripe for another program. At any rate, they're not here this time, and because of the fundraising drive and blah, 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 blah. You know, not much I can say other than I've had to do a lot of juggling and rescheduling. Next week, I have no idea what is expected to go on because they bisected the show. They said, okay, you're on from 5 to 6, not 6 to 7. And with all due respect, it's really, you know, problematic for me to come in for 1 hour in the middle of the night and as we approach prime time. Not that that matters on internet time, but for broadcast time, yes, it does matter. It makes a huge difference in the numbers of listeners. It's really distressing. And the idea I find 2 hours constraining, right? So 1 hour, not exactly a space in which you can do freeform radio. And then the week after that, nobody's even sure whether this emergency fund drive, and usually in the summer there's a mini-thon, goes on for 10 days. This one is scheduled at this point for somewhere between 2 or 3 weeks. So I don't even know what's happening. So after this morning, I'm not sure when you'll hear me again. But, well, certainly at the end of the month and then through September and all that. But it's a little distressing at any rate. And since I'm already booking shows through October and November, I'll be curious to see when the next fund drive causes me to cancel or change 3 weeks or 4 weeks of programming then. We just finished one in which there were 5 Saturdays involved. Quite something. At any rate, later this month, specifically, if memory serves me well, August 21st is the 90th birthday, or as they say now everywhere, and I'm not sure why they say it, call it like this, the 90th anniversary of the birth of Ray Bradbury. And Bradbury is, without question, simply one of the greats, one of the people that have made the genres what they are. He has written exemplary science fiction, exemplary horror, and fabulous fantasy. And then some, screenplay of a movie called Moby Dick. He has had a tremendous impact on people in this country and beyond, including for many people who've never heard of him, have had their lives changed, their culture changed by what Bradbury has done. Max Schmid is, who's supposed to be in here, I don't know where he is. Max Schmid is dedicating his entire month of programming to Bradbury on Mass Backwards, and I suppose on Golden Age of Radio. Lord knows there are enough things. Paul Wonder once put together an entire major CD, a benefit for WBAI, of different radio dramas that made up various stories of the Martian Chronicles. Okay, well, I'm waiting for Max to come in because I have questions for him about our fundraising part, since he has a special premium, a Bradbury-related premium. He also has my tape of my interview with Bradbury, which we are likely to hear later this morning. Let me tell you about my introduction to Bradbury, which is also very much my introduction to science fiction. I got started with juveniles. My parents got me, my mother got me, The Wolves of Willoughby Chase by Joan Aiken. I had read The Wonderful Flight to the Mushroom Planet, which seems to be, by the way, very much for people of a certain age, or at least my certain age, which is to say mid-50s, in the mid-50s, or late-50s, because that's when I would have read it. For many people, their first fantasy or science fiction book, real hard science, they bring a chicken with them on the mushroom planet, and they get back by using the sulfur from the egg yolk, which will help guide their rocket. This was, you know, this was cool stuff, the difference between science fiction and fantasy. And my uncle was the one who was really feeding me a great deal of stuff, including his favorite Theodore Sturgeon. And this wasn't juvenile stuff, but it nevertheless was stuff that I could reach up for. And my parents saw two books that they figured would be right for young people because they had names like primers. One was S is for Space, and the other was R is for Rocket. These are both collections of short stories by Ray Bradbury, neither of them intended for young readers, but nevertheless suitable for me and utterly enthralling. And while I didn't understand a great deal of them, I grasped, I raised myself to try to read these. And stories like The Pedestrian, very eerie, very political story, his stories of Americana, and of course you start getting into epic stories like The Martian Chronicles. Fabulous stuff. In those days, I wasn't as much into his novels, like Dandelion Wine, or some of the longer works, I should say. But The short stories just completely captivated me. And as people now know on the radio, I am still a champion of short stories. And Bradbury and Sturgeon were probably the reason for that. But particularly Bradbury, I was reading him first and comprehending him first. Anything that had his name, anything that mentioned him, was stuff that I absolutely devoured. And such was my introduction. Time came when, in the sixth grade, I wrote a book report. I was infamous I wasn't a good student ever, and eventually dropped out of school. But one time, twice in the sixth grade, I wrote book reports, and each of them have infamous stories. One of them was simply that I was failed for writing a book report of the Martian Chronicles. We were allowed to choose any fiction book we wanted, and I chose the Martian Chronicles, but this was still in the day when science fiction was not literature. Now, there were a number of teachers in the New York City school system who felt otherwise, and it was fine by them. But I had one teacher who, in this regard, was a throwback. And, I was also never good academically, so it could be that whatever I turned in was going to get turned down for whatever particular reason. But in this case, it was that science fiction wasn't literature. The book had, a cover of the era. It was by, at today's standards, very collectible, but by the standard of the day, relatively lurid. It didn't have a Pulp Fiction cover quite, but it had rocket ships and aliens and stuff like that. It just wasn't what, this fellow who was teaching us a separate piece wasn't that level of literature. So I got failed. I also got an absolute sweet and ultimate revenge. Largely in my fantasy world is where that revenge was exacted. But nevertheless, one did occur. And that involves a recording that we will hear later this morning. Now, this is half of the agenda of the show. The other half involves fundraising. And we have a special premium that I have to tell you about, but I can't tell you about without Max being in here, at least giving me the information. And I also have two recordings of his. One is A Sound of Thunder. The other is Dark They Were and Golden-Eyed. Ah, here he cometh. And I have this idea. I have this idea that if people pledge now and take advantage of whatever premium it is that Max...
Boy, have I got a premium for you!
Yeah, whatever it is that we'll be putting together, if people were to subscribe now, they could vote on which of these two tapes we would put on, which is why I've been waiting for you.
Oh, well, did you announce the titles and give out the phone number?
I have no idea.
What? How to
make of these? Vote? No, I don't know what the premium is.
The premium is every Ray Bradbury radio adaptation ever created in this country and several others.
Plus my interview.
Plus your interview, and possibly something from the Pacific Archive, if I can get it in time to put this, to include it.
Okay, and how much is this premium?
Well, the way I figure it, we found enough material to make a 2-disc set, MP3 discs.
Wow, okay, and bearing in mind that MP3s can carry,
high quality.
Tens of hours of high quality audio.
13 hours at 128 mono.
Okay.
That's my formula. So we have more than 13 hours. And we will fill whatever space is left on the second disc by including several other prominent science fiction artists who have lengthy multi-part adaptations of their work from various places.
Yeah, is there a reason why you're looking at Bradshaw and his orchestra? If you're looking for Bradbury, yes. Is that what you're doing? May I suggest stop that.
It's right here.
Oh, okay, fine. Right. You finally found it. But there's have you ever considered hitting Control-F or F3 and typing in Bradbury? It'll take you right there?
Yes, I generally do.
Ah, okay.
So basically, everything you see there will be included. The one thing I can't
But I don't have a price. I can't tell people what they're going to pledge.
They're going to pledge a measly $60.
Oh, that's nothing.
$60. We keep it low end because we want...
We want a lot of people to do it.
Right. And we want to share this great material
with
everyone, which will include, by the way, the complete Martian Chronicles, originally assembled.
The one I was talking about.
The one that Paul Wunder put together from all the various radio shows.
But which you've enhanced.
I have, over the years, found better and better copies, and every time I do, I stick in the better copy.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, it's pretty much all hi-fi all the way through. So we have that. I also have located, finally, after searching the house, a four-part adaptation of Dandelion Wine.
Yeah, now that's fascinating.
So that's a Canadian production.
Mm-hmm. About what era?
80s.
Okay.
As well as several other independent short stories from Canada, something called The Playground from a series called Vanishing Point.
Okay. I know the story of The Playground.
I may actually. I haven't found it yet, but I think I can get my hands on a South African adaptation of a Bradbury story from the 60s.
Now, that I've got. I'm from SF-68.
Oh, you have that. SF-68.
Yeah, I've got that somewhere.
Okay, well.
Or you know what? Sydney has it.
Well, we'll have it. We'll find it.
We have it.
Okay. So.
And that was The Sound of Thunder, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
I think it was.
And I keep finding them in...
Which has the closing... There was a sound of thunder. I mean, it was really that kind of like plotting. It wasn't that bad, but they had to, you know, draw out.
One thing will not be included is anything from the BBC, because they have taken an unfriendly view towards compiling their works, even on something we're practically giving away.
Yeah, yeah.
So
and bearing in mind that we helped, you know, we were the station of record. We broadcast The Goon Show, the only place in this country we premiered...
Hitchhiker's Guide. It's
on this very radio program.
Although Larry thinks otherwise.
Who thinks otherwise?
Larry Josephson.
He's the one who gave them to me.
Oh, okay. I thought we got them from Jack originally.
No. God, no. Jack wasn't around.
What year was this?
78.
Oh, okay. It was a few years before.
Excuse me. No, because by 79, NPR broadcast Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The way that we got Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy... is that Larry got hold of some guy who was basically going around the country trying to talk about it.
Mm.
And this guy was associated with a TV show called Doctor Who. He was the editor of the story editor of Doctor Who, is by the name of Douglas Adams.
Mm.
And he knew that we did BBC programs. So he came to be interviewed by Larry, who wasn't, you know, overly... interested, and he gave BBC transcription discs, which were 14-inch discs, to Larry. Larry gave them to me.
Oh, we had them straight off the disc, eh? Where are those discs?
I gave them back to Larry after broadcast. Yeah. I broadcast the first 6 episodes, and it was, now it can be told, it was utterly illegal. The BBC did not want us to have it, but Douglas Adams did.
They still have a very active legal department, Jim. I'd be careful anything you say.
It's 1977.
I don't care about any statute of limitations.
Okay, you know what?
They're nasty people, Jim.
Okay, well,
nasty people.
Then they can...
I know. I have letters to show.
Then they can go right after Douglas Adams. They can go right ahead. I'm sure that he's waiting somewhere for them, because it was his responsibility, and he told us, as author and producer of the series, that we could play it.
Well, okay.
And then he went to the West Coast, and he did the same thing with Mike Hodel. And
should we stick some Hodel readings on this thing?
Absolutely.
In the Pacifica Archives, there are a number of Bradbury readings, but there's only one actual Bradbury speaking at a convention in the 70s, I think. But, you know, maybe we should, you know.
Hodel's a wonderful reader.
Well, then let's inquire of the archives. And we can add the Pacifica material to this set as well, if that's possible. I don't see why it would not be.
And one of the reasons, by the way, I tell this story so explicitly is if somebody bothers to look up Mike Hodel on Wikipedia, and he died young, tragically. Mm-hmm. He was a co-host with Margot Adler on this show, Hour of the Wolf, on Mondays. Not every Monday, but frequently on Mondays. He and Neil Conan would come in and do stuff on Mondays. And then he went to the West Coast to become news director of KPFK.
Hollywood? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And
Hour 25.
And that's where... Besides doing the news, he created the show Hour 25, which was not a spinoff of Hour of the Wolf, but, you know, he had done Hour of the Wolf and all that. So he had done a number of skiffy kinds of things here. He had interviewed Tom Dish before he went west and things like that. He did a wonderful reading of a couple of Dish stories, The Vamp and the Roaches. But at any rate...
And these are reasons we ask people to subscribe to this radio station. Okay.
So the reason I'm mentioning all this is somebody looks in the Wikipedia entry, it says that Mike Hodel originated the broadcast.
Of Hour of the Wolf?
On KPFA, or KPFK. Hmm. And it's not true. He did it 2 weeks after... We had it on Hour of the Wolf because that's the order.
That's how long it took for him to get to the coast.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. That's how long it took Douglas to go from here to there and be from. And Hour of the Wolf was days a week.
Why haven't you edited this Wikipedia entry?
Because I don't feel like going in and dissing these other people. They also put in that his was the longest running science fiction show, which could hardly be given that he was doing he was one of the hosts of this program before he even went west. Mm. So if he's one of the hosts of Hour of the Wolf, how could, you know.
Whatever happened to that show?
Hour 25?
No, Hour of the Wolf. Does it continue to this day?
It does. Well, you're hearing it now.
Oh.
You're not calling.
That's what that is in my ear.
Yeah. How about that? You were saying the
phone
number?
Oh, 212-209-2950. We are putting together, and I've spent the night in four different studios dubbing off tapes, because you can go to, you know, the $5 CD-ROM guy online and get bad encodes of all of this stuff. I'm using it as a guide, and I'm taking my master tapes and making fresh digital copies, which will then be encoded at the music rate of 128K mono, not 32, you know, half-bit bourgeois. I'm tempted to say things, but about the sound quality. On the other hand, I will say that recently, you know, as MP3 technology and collecting has improved, and the size of hard drives and the speed of email has improved, people are not so keen on crushing every radio show down to its smallest possible component. And they are also finding better copies. Just last Sunday on the Golden Age, I've got a listener who requested The Whole Town Sleeping, which is a great, brilliant Bradbury story. It's part of the Dandelion Wine collection about a man who kills women.
I mistakenly called Dandelion Wine a novel before. It's not. But it's long.
Yeah. So anyway, so she requested this story, and I just popped in a disc to see, you know, where can I find the most convenient copy. And by God, a new dub turned up. This thing had existed in even the tapes were in pretty bad shape. So I have played it before. Then finally, Radio Spirits put out a much better copy. But now, from 1977, Armed Forces Radio, someone came up with a pristine disc copy of this show. They cut off the opening. I had to put the credits back at the end, but the body of the show is almost high fidelity. So that will be included, that new copy of The Whole Town Sleeping. They also did it with Agnes Moorehead, who, you know, outside of her name factor, Jeanette Nolan was a much better... She was much better in this particular story. I'm not going to put down Aggie.
Yeah, really?
But Jeanette Nolan was just brilliant. Narration by William Conrad.
Ooh.
And, you know, I mean, he is just no one better.
No one better. Straight from Frostbite Falls, you know.
So we played that on the Golden Age of Radio, and I have declared this month Ray Bradbury month because on August the 20th, he will turn 90.
Is it the 20th or the 21st?
I believe it's the 20th.
Yeah, I'll have to look.
Well, there's Wikipedia.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a look.
Yeah, I'll do that. Why did you call up Firefox here? I use Chrome anyway.
Chrome, schmome.
Much better browser.
So one of our technical geniuses insists on putting Internet Explorer 8 on all of the machines.
Well, yeah.
So that people can, you know.
You
I
have
guess,
to. You have to.
You have to.
So. On a Windows machine. And I must say, IE8 is not that bad. Not that.
Will it still go to all the porn sites so we can get all our machines infected as usual?
Well, they all will, but Chrome.
That's my major objection to it. It seems all of the infections that we get come from people surfing with that.
It's the people using it. In fact, well, yeah. His birthday is the 22nd. And that's what I thought, because my show is the 21st, and I knew that my show is the day before his birthday.
Well, I've been announcing the wrong guy. We've been making him 92 days too soon, though.
I guess so. You know, give the guy a break.
You know, I was watching a fascinating...
Let him keep his youth until the
22nd. Yeah, well, there's a DVD that we were studying that has a 20-minute interview with him, very recent, because he's... He looks his age, I'm sorry to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if he's had a stroke. He sounds like he may have had a stroke.
I'm not sure. I mean, when he was here at WBAI about 11 years ago, is when Matthew Finch and I interviewed him, he moved around well, but he was already, he was nearing 80 years old at the time, which isn't ancient at all. But he was being careful at the time.
Yeah. But, you know, he recounted in great detail in this interview his youth spent during the Depression, when no one had two nickels to rub together. His father couldn't get a job, and he basically was selling newspapers on the corner, living in the library, and occasionally selling a story for $15 to, you know, one of the mystery magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So many of those early horror stories were done on suspense, and we have one from the Mole Mystery Theater, early Bradbury, before he got more heavily into science fiction. So you're going to get horror Bradbury.
Well, he
on
started
this, on this
really
collection.
The first anybody really knows of him is fan letters in Lovecraft fanzines.
Mm.
So, you know, that's where he comes from. He comes from the classic horror of the teens and 20s. And then the Gernsback stuff comes almost after. The Hugo Gernsback, the editor of Amazing Stories, a Ziff Davis publication. Ads for become a radio person in every issue, you know, changing your life. Some of them are wonderful. The point is that to get this definitive to date, less the BBC productions of Ray Bradbury Radio and Ray Bradbury Audio, you can support Hour of the Wolf and, for that matter, the works of Max Schmid by giving a call this minute, right now, to area code 212-209-2950 and pledge but a mere $60, which for premiums on WBAI, or for that matter, any place that's raising money on air, listener supported, listener this, listener that, and of course we're the original listener sponsored, rather Pacifica Radio is. We invented the concept. well, we did. In 1947.
And we'll burn in hell.
Yeah, and yes, forever for that. $60 is very low for a premium. And from this, I think it's easy to say we'll be giving people at least 20 hours of material.
Oh, easily. And as I say, if we can't fill it up with all Bradbury,
then they'll start throwing in some Arthur C. Clarke.
Yeah, and J.G. Ballard,
yeah,
and Ursula Le Guin.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We, you know, but I want to go for the epic multi-part shows.
Oh, okay.
The Dispossessed was done in Canada in a five-part series.
Yeah.
And Childhood End.
And I have a four 1 hour pieces of The Left Hand of Darkness, which Ooh. Of course can't be the whole novel. I'll give it to you. I have that. And that's also Canadian.
Oh, okay. I hadn't come across that
And you
one.
Have the music of the Kells, which is it was a companion cassette to one of her books in which she talks about the Kells are an alien race.
And I also don't have Golden Apples of the Sun by Judy Collins either. There are two listings for that title in Wikipedia. One is in the record album and one is the Bradbury
book. It's a great record album, and I may even have it with me.
What a coincidence. But no one...
Someone is calling. Because they were waiting for you to say that no one is calling, and there it is. Two people are calling. Thank you. No, one. It looks like it moved on up.
And hopefully it'll eventually hit a phone that's ringing in the back.
Oh, and look, we've made $106,000 this morning.
All right,
I think that's our total tally, I assume.
Okay, the first call has now been placed and picked up. It's now time for you to make the call. And for $60, you know, this is something to add on if you're already a member. You know, this is a gift. And, you know, I'm, as usual, I'm making this myself. I'm donating the materials. I don't collect 10 cents for the ink that I print on the CDs. I don't charge for the blank discs.
You're donating it and your time, your labor to the station.
Yes. So every penny of this $60 will go to WBAI. And, you know, so even if you're already a member, and the membership rate is only $25 for some insane reason, because we're a radio station of the people.
It was $45 when I started
and it was $50 when they wrote the new bylaws that made it $25.
Yeah.
We used to offer a low-income subscription for $25. Now...
And I won't get into that now, but I don't understand why it's not $50 now. I really
or 65 or 75. It's 10 years since that $25 rate was established.
50 is low. 50 is very, very low.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, well, 25, you know, 25 is absurd.
Let me tell you about a new program we have here, by the way, a new method of pledging to the radio station. You can become a BAI buddy.
Uh-oh.
I was not consulted on this terminology, but this is what they decided to call it, the Buddy Program, whereby you arrange through your checking account, or I guess we can do it with your credit card as
deposit?
Well. Yes, basically. It's just committing to giving the station $10 a month until you drop dead and put it in your will so it continues thereafter. This way... You know, if we can get 1,000 people...
So we get all these dead buddies.
Well, if we get 1,000 people...
Like Hackett, another dead buddy.
You know, then we know we can always count on $10,000 being available once a month to pay off, you know, the salaries or whatever bill may be urgently pressing. Because at the moment... You know,
or whichever staff member named Bill may be pressing for his paycheck.
As it is now, we do the fund drive. All the money comes in at once. We spend it all, and then there's 3 months where there's no money.
We spend it all on back debt.
Yes. And buying all of those premiums that we need to spend.
It's not like we're making whoopee on this. And these premiums, by the way, are coming to the station virtually free. The station doesn't have to lay out any money for them.
Well, they lay out the postage.
That's right. But it's not like we're going out and purchasing books or DVDs or something, which is a common technique.
And this is a labor of love, you know. I mean, it started out as the Martian Chronicles. We've offered that on CD in the past. But now you get... everything I can find, and if I can't find a good copy on tape in my own collection, well, we'll toss in whatever copy
I can find
from MP3.
Max's collection is comprehensible. It is the comprehensive, rather.
Yes, and if it isn't
incomprehensible.
And if it isn't, I know where to look
for
things. By the way, the one thing on this list that I brought up here,
yes,
towards the bottom... Do you know Bradbury was a contestant on You Bet Your Life?
I'm well aware of it.
Oh, really? Does that exist?
Yes, it does. Oh. I've seen moments
of it.
Well,
let's find the audio of that.
If I can find
it, we'll stick that on.
You know where they're broadcasting You Bet Your Life?
On the game show channel, probably?
No, on the Jewish Life channel. They play two episodes of The Goldbergs. Followed by two episodes. They do. They're amazing. They're wonderful.
I came across a bunch of World War II radio episodes. Someone found...
I'd love to hear one of
15
those.
15 years ago, somebody found, like, a massive archive of Goldberg.
Okay, we have made $60. Thank you. Let's do that about 10 times.
Yes, that's one.
And that will be a good start.
209-2950, by the way, if we haven't mentioned.
Yeah, because here's the deal. How long is that interview I gave you?
It looks like just under a half hour.
Yeah, that's
from how it fits on the reel.
And how long are these cassettes?
These are about half an hour.
Yeah, so that means we've got an hour of material.
Mystery programming that may or may not be included.
The show is already 40 minutes into the show, which means we only have 20 minutes, 15 minutes if you include my outro, in which to make $600 or more dollars.
Maybe we should play one of these. I'm not sure if these are going to be included, but you never know.
So which do you think? The Dark They Were in GoldenEye, which is really, you know, a classic.
That's part of the Martian Chronicles.
Story. And then there's A Sound of Thunder, which may be the most influential story Bradbury ever wrote, because it changed all time travel stories. The whole everybody talks about the butterfly effect and all that. This is from whence it derived. A Sound of Thunder. And it's a classic dinosaur hunting tale. Maybe we should do that.
Yeah, and this particular series of productions done in the mid-90s and then carried on a variety of radio networks.
It'll have to be rewound.
Yeah. Oh, and you may actually hear an announcer tell us who produced this series of cassettes. I found these on cassette many years ago. I think they're probably available now in other formats. I don't know. I haven't actually looked for them lately.
I was actually given a few of these, not the Bradbury, but these paperback audio cassettes.
Yeah.
Andy Porter, famous New York fan, gave me about three or four of these. They're classic stuff. We're getting, by the way, one more phone call. Thank you very much. We need a few more.
Is that one more, or is that the same call?
2950. No, that's a new call.
Okay,
that's a new
call. Good.
212-209-2950. $60 will get you this premium. Also, very importantly, $60 will send a message to TPTB that you want this show, that HOTW should be here. TPTB is The Powers That Be.
Oh, okay.
HOTW is Hour of the Wolf.
And, well, you know, all you got to do is feature the Illuminati or the Bilderbergers on your show, and you'll be guaranteed extra time.
But if you get, you know, I've mentioned that to our program director, and what I've mentioned
UFO stuff
is that both Hour of the Wolf and Radio Unnameable are mentioned in the first Illuminati book.
The Wilson.
That's right.
That's the Illuminati we should be pushing here on the station. Anton Wilson's Illuminati.
Well, all this other stuff is really from people that have been illuminated by and sent off into researching the fables of the Illuminati because of Robert Anton Wilson and who was his co-writer?
The name is eluding me at
the
moment.
Well, from that trilogy. From that original trilogy of paperbacks. So all these people who are now doing all this, you know, big conspiracy type stuff, they're all getting that from this work of science fiction.
Exactly. It's quite comical.
It would be comical if it weren't so pathetic.
212-209-2950.
Yeah, but you'd have to be somebody from L.A.,
I get it. My nephew was young once too, and he subscribed.
Did he become program director of WBAI?
No, he's forming his own religion at the moment. Oh, gee, somebody wants to come into the building. I bet.
Yeah, sounds like it. Okay, I'm going to lower your microphone. Okay, and so we're getting three calls coming in, two of which are pledges, and one of which are to the ops person on duty. That would be Max Schmid. But this is Hour of the Wolf, and we are celebrating the 90th birthday of Ray Bradbury on August 22nd.
I stand corrected.
Yes, I knew it was the day after my show.
You know somebody named Carol Palmer? Sure you do.
Hmm? I'm sorry, whom?
Carol Palmer.
No.
Oh, I thought she was one of your former co-hosts. Well, I'm thinking of a different Carol.
Carol Cooper.
Ah.
Carol Cooper was one of my former co-hosts. Where does that CD come up on this board here, Mr. Ops Person?
The CD? Which CD?
The CD player.
Yeah,
the only one in the room.
We call that a cassette. I know.
I'm sorry, what am I thinking? The cassette player. That thing.
There it is. Look. We even have a label for it.
Oh, yeah. Like those ever work? Okay. Let's see. Oh, yes, it does work. And yes, as Max said, good fidelity. Okay, so we're going to play that shortly, but I would love to see one or two more phone calls come in. 212-209-2950. You will support WBAI, listener-sponsored radio in New York. You will support Hour of the Wolf being on WBAI, as it has been since Margot Adler started the show in 1972, and since I took it over in 1974. And I was her co-host, by the way, Thursdays and Fridays in 72 and 73, and the first part of 74. And the concept of science fiction being a major part of the programming on this radio station, which it has been since before it became part of Pacifica Radio, when Anthony Boucher, the founder of FNSF and all that, was the music department. So yes. So we have a major history at Pacifica Radio, at most of our stations, of science fiction programming, and here it has been Hour of the Wolf.
And radio production and of said same. Exactly. Star Pit springs immediately to mind.
Yeah, well, Baird Searles.
The radio.
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of the Star Pit, in February, Chip Delaney has a new book coming out. So be prepared for us to be doing a lot of stuff with Chip at that time.
That'll be fun. It's always good to see Chip come by.
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. He was a staff member here for the early years, and I have some fascinating stories, which I only found out some of at ReaderCon, where talking with people about Ted Sturgeon, and Chip was there, and I got some interesting stuff that I really will probably never tell on the air because it's really bizarre stuff.
It's like potato chip stories.
Not about Delaney. He was but the source here. At any rate.
Yeah, we could gossip all day, but no one is calling at the moment. 212-209-2950. It's so vitally important that you take the commitment to tuning in and being awake at this ungodly hour. And if you're not, if you're listening online, you can pledge for this throughout this drive anyway. But, you know, if you're up now and tuned in specifically to hear Hour of the Wolf, well, you need to become a listener sponsor to make sure that the program stays here. 212-209-2950. Of course,
we've made $180 so far. Thank you very much. Let's do some more damage. 212-209-2950.
We should get $1,000 by 7 o'clock, it says here.
We should. I would say so.
And there's a new call. Thank you. Thank
you very much. Yes, 212-209-2950. But let us play A Sound of Thunder now.
Okay.
Yes, let us do that. As thanks to those people who are calling, and for those people that we know will continue to call while this wonderful radio drama is on. I haven't heard it yet, but I know it's wonderful. 212-209-2950. And, three calls coming in.
All right.
Whoa. Well, two anyway. But that's, well, one anyway. But I think they may be getting confused. Now, how many people do we have answering the phones?
I'm not sure.
I saw two, I thought.
Yeah, I think two or possibly three.
Yeah. Okay, well, if more people call, you know, we can put you on hold for a moment. We can't. We'll deal with them all.
You know, we can get Simon to run back there and take
That's
a call
right.
or two.
You,
oh, I'm sorry. It's not funny.
I said this is
science. Stranger things have happened,
This
though.
Program is science fiction, fantasy, and horror.
Yes.
But we don't do it that much absurd.
Yes, not the realm of the impossible.
Indeed. That's not fair.
Oh, there's another call.
Okay. And on that Simon calling. 212-209-2950. Thank you. And now, without further snarkiness, we go to...
It's love. And we say it with love.
Of course we do. A Sound of Thunder.
Be patient, Mr. Eccles. These things take time.
Yeah, well, how long does it take to make a phone call?
I'm sure Mr. Spallner is doing all he can.
Well, I wish he'd do it a little quicker. I've still got to pack and tidy things up at the office. I've got a pretty full schedule, too, you know.
I'm well aware of that, Mr. Eccles. And we're doing everything we can to speed things up. But there's quite a bit of paperwork involved
here.
Yeah,
things are rough all over. That's why I need a break. I need to get away from everything for a while. And this trip ought to be just the ticket.
Oh, here's Mr. Spalner now.
It's about time.
Well, good news, Mr. Eccles. I just got off the phone. Everything checks out fine.
Well, I told you it would. Could have saved you the trouble.
Well, you can't blame us for being careful, can you?
I suppose not.
Now all we need from you is $25,000, and we're all set.
Will you take a personal check?
Of course. Well, naturally, we've checked your credit, and everything is fine.
Naturally.
Like I said, we can't be too careful. Just make it out to Time Safari Incorporated.
Time Safari Inc. There you go. $25,000.
Thank you, Mr. Eccles. I promise you the time of your life.
For that much dough, it better be. You know, I can't believe I'm really going on the safari.
A time safari?
Yeah. Say, does this safari guarantee I come back alive?
Mr. Eccles, the only thing we guarantee is what's stated in our brochure. You name any year in the past and any animal, we'll take you there and you shoot it. It's also on the sign above your head. That's all we guarantee.
Fair enough.
And as far as coming back alive, well, I believe that's all part of the lure of the hunt, huh? The element of surprise, man against beast and all that, huh? But I'm sure you'll do just fine.
Hey, look, don't you worry about me. I've been on safaris before.
Yes, I'm sure you have. And now if you'll follow me, there's someone I'd like you to meet. Step right in, Mr. Eccles.
What's this?
Now, this is our departure area.
Impressive, isn't it?
Oh, Travis. Now, come over here a minute. Mr. Eccles, I'd like you to meet Bill Travis, your safari guide in the past.
How do you do?
Hello.
Travis will tell you what to shoot and where to shoot. If he says no shooting, then no shooting. If you disobey instructions, there's a penalty of another $10,000 plus possible government action on your return. Do you understand?
I understand. Is that the machine?
That's it.
Real time machine. I never thought I'd see this in my lifetime.
Well, take a good look at it. It's a real thing. There are only two other like it in the world. One in Paris and one in Tokyo.
It's smaller than I thought.
A whole six people, plus supplies, food, and our rifles, of course.
It makes you think, doesn't it? If the election had gone badly yesterday, I might be here now trying to run away from the results. I mean, if Keith hadn't won, if Deutscher had become president of the United States...
Well, we're lucky, all right. If Deutscher had gotten in, we'd have the worst kind of dictatorship. That man's anti-everything. Anti-intellectual, anti-human, anti-religion.
You know, some people called up half-joking. Said that if Deutscher became president, they wanted to go live in 1492. Some of them weren't joking. Of course, it's not our business to conduct escapes. We form safaris.
Anyway, Keith's in now, so all you have to worry about is shooting your dinosaur.
A Tyrannosaurus Rex. You promised me that.
A Tyrannosaurus Rex, the thunder lizard. The biggest, most dangerous monster in history. A meat eater and not afraid of another living thing.
Maybe, but that was 50 million years ago.
And that's exactly where you're headed. Tomorrow morning. But first, you'll have to sign this. We'll have it notarized for you.
What is it?
It's a release. If anything happens to you, we're not responsible.
What?
Those dinosaurs are hungry. They can crush you like a moth or swallow you in one bite.
Are you trying to scare me?
Mr. Eccles, you must understand our position. If you were to act out of fear and something unforeseen...
What Spalner is trying to tell you is that we don't want you on the safari if you're going to panic and get yourself killed, or maybe one of us.
I can take care of myself.
Let me tell you something, Eccles. We had four safari leaders and six hunters killed last year, all because of panic. We're here to give you the biggest thrill a real hunter could ever ask for. We'll take you back 50 million years to bag the biggest, most ferocious game of all time. But you'll do it our way or you won't do it. Your check's on the table. You could tear it up.
Now, where do I sign?
Here. Mr. Travis, he's all yours.
Please step in and have a seat. My assistant will take your weapons and store them for you.
Be careful of that rifle, boy. That's a handmade stock on there.
Yes, sir.
Wade's a good man, Eccles. He may be young, but he's been on a dozen safaris with me. You listen to him, and you may get back alive.
All set, sir.
Good. Secure the hatch.
Securing the hatch.
Control, this is TS-1.
Go ahead, Travis.
We're locked down and preparing for automatic departure sequence.
Affirmative. Good hunting.
Thanks, Control. Gentlemen, welcome aboard Time Safari 1. Mr. Eccles, have you met your fellow hunters, Mr. Billings and Mr. Kramer?
How do you do?
Nice to meet you. Ain't this something?
Gentlemen, there'll be some physical sensation, so please fasten your seatbelts. The entire trip should take about 18 minutes. Switch on.
Switching on.
Hey, Travis. Can these guns really stop a dinosaur Colt?
If you hit him right. Some dinosaurs have two brains, one in the head, another near the tail. Go for the eyes. If you can blind him, then go for the brain. We're on our way.
Every hunter that ever lived would envy us today.
I'll say. This'll make Africa look like Illinois.
Look out the window. The building's gone.
Hey, it's night. No, it's day. It's night again.
Everything's a blur. It's spinning.
Hang on, everyone. Gentlemen, Adam has not been born. Moses has not gone to the mountain to talk with God. The pyramids are still in the earth, waiting to be cut out and put up. Remember that. Alexander, Caesar, Napoleon, Hitler, none of them exist. That out there is the jungle of 50,002,055 years before President Keith.
Hey, there's a path out there.
That's a metal anti-gravity path laid by Time Safari for your use. It floats 6 inches off the ground, doesn't touch so much as one grass blade, one flower, one tree. Stay on it. Don't go off the path, not for any reason. If you fall off, there's a $10,000 fine and legal action on your return. And don't shoot anything we don't okay.
Why?
We don't want to change the future. You've got to understand something. We don't belong here in the past. We're intruders. Besides, the government doesn't like us here.
Well, I should think it would encourage scientific research.
The government's not interested in digging around in the past. Not knowing it, we might kill an important animal, a small bird, a roach, even a flower. We could destroy an important link in the growing chain.
Are you kidding? There's millions of birds and insects. So what if I squash a bug?
All right, say we accidentally kill one mouse here.
Yeah.
Well, that means all the future families of this one mouse are destroyed, right?
So they're dead. Who needs mice anyway?
What about the foxes that'll need those mice to survive? For one of 10 mice, a fox dies. For one of 10 foxes, a lion starves. For one of a lion, all manner of insects, vultures, infinite billions of life forms are thrown into chaos. Eventually, 49 million years later, a caveman goes hunting a wild boar or a saber-toothed tiger for food. But you, my friend, have stepped on all the tigers in that region. By stepping on one single mouse, a caveman starves, a man who is an entire future nation. From his loins could spring an entire civilization, an entire race. You've stomped on one single mouse and changed history.
Hey, I mean, you're joking, of course.
No, I think he's got a point.
Look, step on a mouse and you crush the pyramids. You leave a footprint like the Grand Canyon across history. Queen Elizabeth might never be born. Washington might never cross the Delaware. There might never even be a United States at all. So be careful, all of you. Stay on the path. Don't ever step off.
So what you're saying is for us not even to touch the grass?
That's right. A little error here could multiply everything out of proportion in 50 million years.
I see.
Of course, maybe our theory is wrong.
Well, then you're guessing.
Well, of course we're guessing. Anyone who claims to know is a fool. But until we do know if messing around with time can change history, we're being careful. Very careful. Wade, explain the hunting procedure.
All right. As you know, this machine, the path, your clothing and bodies were sterilized before we left home base. We'll also wear these oxygen helmets to avoid contamination of the ancient atmosphere. We wouldn't want you to breathe any bacteria or germs into the air.
I brushed my teeth this morning.
Yes, but how would you like to breathe in an ancient spore for which you have no immunity? You could start an epidemic back home.
Hey, say, how do we know which animal to shoot?
Good question. They're marked with red paint.
Paint?
Yes. This morning before our journey, I sent Wade here back in the machine. He came to this era and followed certain dinosaurs.
Well, you studied them?
Right. I tracked them through their entire existence with the help of the time machine and find out how long they live, how often they mate, and so on. When I find one that's going to die when a tree falls on him or one that drowns in a tar pit, I note the exact hour, minute, and second. Then I shoot a paint bomb. It leaves a red patch on his hide. We can't miss it. Then I compute our arrival in the past, so we meet the monster not more than 4 to 6 minutes before he would have died anyway. That way, we kill only animals with no future, those that'll never mate again.
You see how careful we are, Eccles?
But if Wade came back this morning in time, he must have bumped into us, our safari. Hey, how did it turn out? Was it a success?
Well, that would be a paradox. Time just doesn't permit that sort of mess, man meeting himself. When that sort of thing is about to occur, time just steps aside.
I don't understand.
Well, it's like a plane hitting a bump of air. You felt the machine jump just before we stopped?
Yeah.
Well, that was us passing ourselves on the way back to the future. It just sort of skipped over that part. So there's no way of telling what happened, if we got our dinosaur, or if we even got out alive. All right, it's time. Everyone on his feet. Put on your helmets. One last thing.
Yeah?
If anything goes wrong, anything at all, walk quickly back to the machine and wait inside. No one's ever died on one of my safaris, and I won't let any weekend hunters spoil that record. Understand?
Yeah.
Check your rifles. Wade, open the forward hatch.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's go.
Look at the trees and plants.
There's nothing like this back home.
This is home, Eccles. Just a bit before your time.
Hey, look at that. Giant bats.
Not bats, pterodactyls.
I could pick those off without even aiming. Just like duck hunting back home.
Stop that.
Don't point your gun, not even for fun. If that thing should go off...
The safety's on. I know what I'm doing. You'd love to see me shoot a lizard and wind up in jail, wouldn't you? Or step off the path and pay another $10,000, wouldn't you, Travis?
You're wasting oxygen, Eccles.
You say, where's our Tyrannosaurus?
Up ahead. We'll intersect his path in 90 seconds. Right on the money.
Look for the red paint. And don't shoot till we give the word. And stay on the path.
Strange. Up ahead, 50 million years from now, election day finally over. Keith made president. Everybody's celebrating now.
I'll say, millions of people crowding into bars, letting their hair down, getting drunk. Everybody looking ahead to the next 4 years before the next election.
And here we are, a million years lost. And they don't even exist. The things we worried about for months, years, haven't even been thought about. And no one's cooked the first meal yet. I stood on a hill and watched the sunset.
Makes you feel kind of lonely.
Safety catcher's off, everyone.
I've hunted tiger, wild boar, even elephants. Well, this is it, the ultimate big game. I mean, look at me. I'm shaking like a kid.
10 seconds.
Eccles, huh? You shoot first. Second, Billings. Third, Kramer. Got it?
Got it.
Eccles?
Yeah, I got it.
Hold it. Head. Through the mist. There he is. There's his royal majesty.
It can't be you. Hey, that thing could touch the moon.
Shh. It hasn't seen us yet.
It can't be killed. I was wrong. We were fools to come.
Shut up.
It's a nightmare.
Echo. Walk quietly and calmly back to the machine. We'll remit half your fee, no questions asked. Just do it.
I miscalculated. I didn't realize it would be this big. It's too big. Get me out of here, Travis. No.
It's Jesus.
There's a red thing on his chest.
Get me out of here. It was never like this before. I've met my match. I did it. I'm getting out of here.
Echo, don't run. Not that way, Eccles. Eccles, stay on the path.
The monster.
Shooting. Shooting in the head.
I got him. He's not going down.
He will. He's falling.
Watch out!
It's dead, all right. That was a little too close. Here, here's a rag. Wipe the blood off. Wade, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Here, better wipe yourself off, too. Wade Eccles is in the machine. Get him back here.
Okay. Travis, watch out! The tree!
Right on time. That's the tree that was scheduled to fall and kill this animal. We just saved it the trouble.
Look at that beast. I've never seen anything so massive in my life. 10 tons of cold flesh, at least.
You want the trophy picture, Billings?
Huh?
Well, we can't take this thing back to the future with us. The body has to stay right here where it originally fell, so the insects and birds can get to it as they were intended to. Everything in balance. But we can take a picture of you and Kramer standing next to it.
I don't think so, Travis.
Hey! Here comes Eccles.
Travis. Travis. I'm sorry, but believe me.
Eccles, you almost killed us all.
Travis, all...
Save it. You're not coming back. We're leaving
you. You can't do that.
Stay out of this, Kramer. Eccles panicked, like I knew he would. And look at his shoes. Look at them. He ran off the path. He's ruined us. We'll lose our license to travel, and who knows what this imbecile's done to time, to history.
Take it easy. All he did was kick up some dirt.
How do we know that? We don't know anything. It's all a mystery.
I'll pay anything. 10,000. 100,000. No one has to know.
Walk over there, Eccles, next to the monster. Stick your arms up to your elbows in his mouth. Then you can come back with us.
Now, wait a minute.
The monster's dead, you yellow coward. We need the bullets back. They can't be left behind. They don't belong in the past. Here's my knife. Go over there and dig them out. All of them.
Give me that.
can do that.
Didn't I? He'll live. Next time he'll know better. He can stick to hunting jackrabbits. Come on, we'll wait for him in the machine.
Everyone strap in. Wade, secure the hatch.
Yes, sir.
Travis. 9 shots. 9 bullets. Take them.
Strap in, Ackles.
Everything's secure.
Is it? Switch on. Let's go home.
$19.99, $2,000, $2,055.
We're home.
Hey, don't look at me like that. I haven't done anything. So I stepped on some dirt. So what? I got a little mud on my shoes. Big deal. I mean, what do you want me to do?
Shut up, Eccles.
Open that hatch.
Travis, I'll pay anything. I mean it.
You know something, Eccles? I might just kill you yet. Get out! Everything all right here?
Fine. Welcome home.
You're sure?
Well, of course I'm sure. You know something we don't?
Okay, Eccles. You're one lucky guy. Now get out of here. Don't ever come back, ever. Eccles, did you hear me? What are you staring at?
Travis. The sign.
What sign?
On the wall. Read it. Time Safari Inc. Safaris to any year in the past. You name the animal, take you there. You shoot it.
Spelling. It's all wrong. The letters.
Different alphabet.
No, it can't be. Not a little thing like that.
Spaulder, who won the presidential election yesterday?
What? Are you kidding?
Who won?
Well, you know who won. Deutscher, of course. Who else? Not that weakling Keith.
Deutscher?
Yeah, we got an iron man now. A man with guts. What's wrong with you anyway?
Eccles, look at the bottom of your shoe. There. The mud.
What is it?
A butterfly. A dead butterfly.
What's wrong with you people?
It can't be. Not a little thing like a butterfly. Not a little thing like that.
A butterfly.
Well, can't we go back? I mean, can we make a live again? Can we start over? Come on!
It was just a small thing. A small thing that could upset balances and knock down a line of small dominoes and then big dominoes and then gigantic dominoes all down the years across time.
Durkin Hayes is pleased to present, along with these classic Ray Bradbury stories, excerpts from a discussion with the author. Many fans of Ray Bradbury have detected a number of themes running through his work. Sometimes the author himself is unaware of them.
I think it's just, you do it without knowing it. I've never noticed until later that these themes are there, and then people point them out. I say, I'll be darned, that's interesting. I think it has to do with a reverence for time and place, and I think it's inbuilt. I think it's genetic. I think I was born with a certain kind of melancholy sense for place and time, and that I respected anything like that. If I go into an old city or I go into a burial ground, there's a sense there of the ghosts of the past that I think has to be respected for whatever reasons. You don't want to get too mystical about it, but you do get an overwhelming thing. I had a really shocking, stunning experience at Normandy 5 years ago. I visited there, the American burial ground at Normandy, France, with my wife one afternoon, and we were destroyed by the experience, utterly destroyed. The weight of all those dead people was simply fantastic. Now, it's very hard to know if you bring all that with you as baggage from your knowledge of the war and our involvement in Europe over a period of 30 years or so, or whether there's something else there that says, hey, remember, huh? Here we are, remember. Don't ever forget. But it crushed us. We had to get out of there. We were in tears.
If Bradbury shows a reverence for the dead, it is also true that he cares very strongly about life and living.
I think that, there's a thing we never truly discuss, we're afraid to discuss. We're always saying that we should be willing to give our lives for our country. How about living for our country, huh? Instead of dying for your country? I've never seen an article written on this. Imagine if Shakespeare had been killed in a war, huh? What if he'd gone off and given his life for his country? What a shocking thing that would have been, huh? The world would have been diminished by one half. As it was, Shakespeare and Cervantes died on the same day. That's world-shaking right there. What if they both died 30 years earlier? There would be nothing to show. There'd be a big hole in the universe. Now, is there any way to fill that? I don't think there is. I think that we're all put here to be who we are for a very special purpose. Haven't the faintest idea how it all works. But I feel privileged to have inherited my genetics. This is a gift I feel obligated to.
I never thought that anyone in their right mind could ever treat another human so unkind. Didn't you kidnap me and leave my friends behind? Is that the human thing to do?
This is WBAI in New York City, listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio at 99.5 FM. And the program is Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund, and we are beginning what is between this program and Max Schmid's programming on this radio station, a month-long celebration of the writing, and particularly the radio, of Ray Bradbury, who on August 22nd of this month will be 90 years young. Or as I don't know why everybody all of a sudden says, they no longer say the birthday of such and such. They say the anniversary, the umpteenth anniversary of somebody's birth. This is like the new thing. I read it in the paper and when I watch Turner Classic Movies, Robert Osborne will say, this is the 100th anniversary of the birth of, which is fine. I sort of get that when somebody has passed on, but then they do it for living people, and it's sort of a weird kind of a thing. So, you know what? I'm going against that trend. I'm not going to say that. It's Bradbury's birthday, okay? And that's just way cool. Seems to me Fred Pohl has a 90th birthday coming up real soon. And I haven't since he moved to Chicago, I haven't seen him around. There was only one time that I actually met Ray Bradbury and conducted an interview with him here at the WBAI studios, because I really hate doing phone interviews. And that was about 11 years ago, and Max has that recording, but he says the tape needs serious doctor work, and he is going to be performing that at some point. So it seems like we are not going to hear that interview this morning. Ah, but that just means that we get to savor more Bradbury later this month. You think there's a possibility of saving that recording, Doctor? I certainly hope. It's you know, Matthew Finch will have a copy.
It's a question of how...
That mic sounds dead.
No, this is the host mic, too.
Oh, that's that mic.
Host mic.
That's why it's dead, okay.
No, it was...
I'm the host. This is the host mic.
No, that's the engineer mic.
Yeah, I know.
Now, what the tape needs... is 180 degrees for 4 hours.
You're going to turn it upside down?
In a convection oven. Barring that, I find that propping the oven door open with a cork or something to allow circulation, basically, the tape...
thereby making it sort of a convection oven.
Well, since I haven't got one, I was thinking of actually trying...
I have a little convection oven.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's how you bake a tape. The tape company that made
it. It's not a small, I mean, it's a full-sized oven.
Oh.
But it's a convection oven. It has fans on three sides.
Well, Ampex used to give away the things to bake tape because they were responsible. They made a formulation of magnetic recording tape. The oxide particles that store the signal magnetically is held on to the Mylar backing by a binder of glue and lubricant. And the formula they came up with for their black back-coated tape that everyone was using, I mean, it was industry standard. However, over time, the glue itself would absorb moisture from the atmosphere, causing the tape to get gummy and to squeal like a violin bow over the strings.
Squeal like a violin bow.
That's right, and that's why it's called squeal tape. And the cure is 180 degrees for 4 or 8 hours.
And squeal tape to get rid of that lubricant. Yes, indeed.
This is one of my tools for baking the tape.
I am not going near that. This is WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM and at WBAI.org, or ARG, as the case may be. The program is Hour of the Wolf. My name is Jim Freund, and... with me, Max Schmid, and more silently, but certainly with us, Ken Gale. And this is not only a celebration of Bradbury's birthday and baking tape. If I'd known you was coming, I'd have baked a tape.
Yeah, we're going to bake him a tape for his birthday.
Yes, indeed. There's a thought with candles on it. But
no, we don't want to get wax on the...
Is also a... You're waxing eloquently here. This is also a fundraising morning, in theory. And actually, we had a nice start.
You know how we can succeed at fundraising? We get the premium. How anyone can make money that was being offered yesterday. If it was such a great premium.
We'd be doing it.
Anyone but listener-sponsored radio stations in New York City.
Oh, God. The telephone number, if you would like to call up and pledge to this insanity, but wonderful insanity, and more importantly, to listener-sponsored radio, and to the idea of a regular speculative fiction, or if you want to be more lowbrow about it, science fiction and fantasy and horror program, is 212-209-2950. But wait.
Is there more?
If you call right now.
Operators standing by.
No, they're sitting. If you call right now and pledge $60 to WBAI during Hour of the Wolf, and we're also going to make this available during... What shows are you doing the Bradbury stuff on?
Mass Backwards and the Golden Age of Radio.
Okay, very good.
And even the Internet. Well, we won't have the premium on the Internet will have Bradbury on the Internet
but
show.
But on three shows on WBAI this month,
yep.
Bradbury.
Yep.
And so...
Horror on the Mass Backwards, science fiction, and whatever else on the Golden Age... And the heartwarming, folksy Americana of the 1920s that's Bradbury's youth in the same town that Jack Benny grew up in, Waukegan, Illinois. That's their, but they share that hometown.
Yes. That's right. Different parts of town, probably. Other side of the railroad track. Yeah. Benny probably was
Back in those days, just like on our gang, everyone was, they were all brothers. All sat on the railroad tracks, wondering where the next meal was coming from.
Wondering when the next train was going to show up, actually. If you're sitting on the railroad tracks, that's a good thing to think about. But if you were to pledge $60 to WBAI, you would get two CDs filled with
MP3 audio. Music quality audio
of
not
drama.
Everything, but nearly everything.
Yeah, those, by the way, despite not a very good announcer reading about Bradbury, that was good actuality and an interesting insight.
Yeah, didn't the announcer on the show itself sound like Paul Frees? Was it Paul Frees?
It sounded like Paul Frees, yes.
Well, if it wasn't him, it was someone who sounded amazingly like him.
It was somebody trying to do Orson Welles, and only Paul Frees could really do Orson Welles.
However, on the two CD set, one of the things you will get is Orson Welles narrating the... It's basically, they took the movie soundtrack for Something Wicked This Way Comes, and then Orson Welles did the Bradbury parts.
Now, as I recall...
And that's a 90-minute production.
As I recall, Something Wicked This Way Comes was originally a screenplay. Bradbury did not write it as a novel. He wrote it as a movie, which was not made, which did not sell. And then he wrote the novel, and then the movie got made, 15, 20 years after he had originally written it.
And, that was one of the first movies to use computer graphics.
CGI.
To make the train approaching the town.
Yeah, and it's so spooky. It's so well done. I actually like that movie.
Right.
I know a lot of people were ambivalent about it.
Oh, no. Well, it captures the spirit of Bradbury.
It really does.
The small town, the fascination of the carnival. And he talks in that interview I was watching about, how he actually went to a carnival and had a fortune teller, bop him on the head and tell him things.
I've heard him tell that story. Yeah.
So that's his fascination for carnivals and summer. It's all about the summer. Making of the Dandelion Wine, a four-part Canadian production, which is included in this package.
And if you call now, you will get this package with all kinds of things. The Martian Chronicles, Something Wicked This Way Comes.
You'll get horror from Mole Mystery Theater and Suspense. You get short stories from NBC Short Story and Radio City Playhouse. You get Canadian productions, South African productions. What other English speaking country other than England have we failed to mention? I think there's one other source.
Australia. Is there anything from Australia?
I have to check. I know every time I turn around, I keep finding something new. I was looking in some archive and found another story.
They certainly like their science fiction in Australia. Mm-hmm. The Worldcon will be in Australia in but 3 weeks. So that's why we couldn't reschedule the Altered Fluid people for August 31st, because a whole bunch of folk will be in Australia. So not I. I can't afford Melbourne for WorldCon.
Someday before I die, I'm going. I'm going to New Zealand. The Anzac territories.
The Kiwi place, yes. But the point is that all this can be yours if you call now. Now you can call. We're not going to say, but wait. But wait is over. Call now. Call bleeping now.
212-209-2950.
Very good. I should have pan-potted us left and right channels.
And people are standing by. We have volunteers waiting to take your call. And, we had a good flurry of calls before we played the radio drama. Now it's time to match that and exceed that.
Now that you've gotten a taste, and on that also, you will get my interview. It was actually Matthew Finch and I. Matthew was the arts director at the time that Ray Bradbury was in New York. He doesn't travel a whole lot. He doesn't like planes. Mm-hmm. And it's a long, long trip by train. So, but he came to New York for the National Book Award when he was the recipient for Fahrenheit 451. On the 40th anniversary of Fahrenheit 451 is when he was in New York last.
Somewhere. Now that you mention it, that's one I have to track down, because there is a radio drama of that.
Is there really?
That I've had in my collection.
Now that I would be fascinated to hear. And that, by the way, is, that's a great movie. The Francois Truffaut movie with Julie Christie and Oscar Werner and, who plays the chief fireman? Cyril
I forget.
Classic Cyril.
I did hear him say that his inspiration for that was the Reichstag fire.
Yeah, yeah.
And the book burnings in general.
Absolutely the book burnings. I mean, that's not like a hidden kind of thing. That's a lot of Bradbury is not subtle. A lot of Bradbury is right out there. This is what I'm writing about. This is what I'm talking about, which is what makes a lot of his stuff so accessible. He also, by the way, has quite the, I would say, almost fetish for Moby Dick. He sees Moby Dick as the great American novel, as so many people do, including He Whose Show Follows Mine, and the He Who Must Be Named, Simon Locley. And the Bradbury, of course, wrote the screenplay for the movie Moby Dick that was directed by John Huston. Bradbury tells wonderful stories about going to Africa when they were filming The African Queen. So he was there with John Huston, Humphrey Bogart, Katharine Hepburn, Betty Bacall. My God, the drinking that must have been going on. And he's writing the screenplay of Moby Dick by day, handing it to Huston after the rushes. It must have been very heady, and Bradbury tells some wonderful stories about that time. And he's got a very interesting take on Moby Dick. Bradbury wrote an epic poem version of Moby Dick that is something I'm pretty sure is actually excerpted, I hope, in the Pacific, because it's long. And I think you'll find some of that in the Pacifica archives.
Well, that's another place I need to look to help.
Well, maybe I
build
can
out the second disc.
Yeah, you don't have to do all
set
this alone. I'm willing to do this with you.
Well, I'm, you know, Max, just picking up a phone and calling Pacifica Archives should track us down to that stuff. I mean, it's online. I looked it up online to see what was there.
I can do that. It was 2 years ago. They had me pitching on their national pitch.
I have news for you if you missed that memo. Shortly after the summer fun drive that we're in the middle of,
we're
here
going to be doing a Pacifica fun
we're doing
drive.
We missed it because we were doing something else at the time, but we're going, BAI is going to do its segment of the National Archive fundraising show.
Yeah, well, the National Archive is worth it. You know, they're cool. They're
and,
very
and
cool.
They capped
and they're
off
their own profit center now. You
yeah,
know, so they
yeah
have to.
So is this one.
No, we're not a profit center. We're anything. But two calls are currently coming in. Let's get some more. 212-209-2950. $25 will make you a subscriber to WBAI, and will send a signal to TPTB, the powers that be, that SF is something you want on HOTW on FM. 212, my brain is hurting after having done it. 212-209-2950. $60 will not only make you a subscriber to WBAI, but will get you the Schmiedco fabulous exclusive.
Yeah, that's right. I am
premium
assembling this from scratch, pretty much.
Yeah, and this is definitive stuff, because Max's stuff is the best sound quality of all these various collectors and people who gather this stuff. And thanks thanks in part to me, because I'm giving you that interview that I did with Bradbury.
And I
haven't told, by the way, the capper to that story that I was telling earlier before you came in, which was, I mentioned I was flunked in school for writing a book report on the Martian Chronicles.
Wow.
Now anybody.
Now consider.
That's twice. Now, anybody who is a fan of, let's say, Gene Shepard, knows what it is to have, like, the dream. It's, you save the family with that Red Ryder gun that your parents don't want you to have, or something like that. So,
well, he had a great book report story too. He found a book in his parents' bedroom.
Yeah. Well, let me tell. Let me finish telling mine.
Yes.
Since I started it well over an hour ago. I thought I was going to play the interview, and this is the
serialization
after. We recorded that interview with Bradbury. I told Bradbury, actually during the interview, I told him I was flunked in school because I wrote a book report on the Martian Chronicles. And this is still in a day where, well, if you're doing a book report on science fiction, it's not literature, and I was automatically flunked. So Bradbury recorded a message to my teacher. Is this a Gene Shepherd-like story or what? He recorded a message to my teacher saying, you know, here we are on the radio, the 40th anniversary of the publication of my book. I'm getting the National Book Award today. And you flunked this kid who dropped out of school. You flunked him.
Well,
and
you know,
he actually recorded that. And I found an address listed to somebody in Queens, where I was growing up, with the same name of my teacher, mm-hmm. and I sent him that cassette. And my fantasy, my Gene Shepherd fantasy, is that the teacher actually got the tape and goes, "Oh no, what have I done?" You know, poor Ralphie. You know, it was. But I really got to do that. I really got Bradbury to do that. That's an amazing thing.
Well, you know, his advice even today is, you know, a song that used to be sung in my experimental college, "Stay Out of College." He said the only education you need is at the library. And apparently he grew up during the Depression in the library, mm-hmm. which is why he was so full of, you know, poems that he was quoting. And,
absolutely.
You know, and
absolutely.
Just general knowledge, history,
and he's
all the background for his writing.
And he's a lover of books, which is what, after all, Fahrenheit 451 is what propels it, what keeps it going. And you find that as an ongoing theme. And God, Truffaut's movie is not, you know, word for word, concept for concept. You know, Bradbury's novel, Fahrenheit 451, but it is the same homage to books using the theme and the story that Bradbury created. Truffaut did such a wonderful job. You know, not that many science fiction writers fare well in movie adaptations. I mean, poor Asimov. I mean, I, Robot, and Nightfall and those things. And Bradbury suffered in the last version of The Sound of Thunder, apparently. Was not a great... Yeah, I know you say it wasn't that bad.
I stumbled upon it on cable one day, and I sat through it.
And there was sort of a... And they sort of used that whole theme with the butterfly effect, right?
Yeah, but they, you know, they goosed up the whole evil corporation aspect of it at the end.
Of course they did, yes. But
well, can they return to their own time?
But Bradbury had Something Wicked This Way Comes. He had Fahrenheit 451, which is, you know, great world cinema, Fahrenheit 451. And Something Wicked This Way Comes is a very good mood piece, very well done. He's done okay with theater. He's written a lot of theater, and he's had a lot of theatrical adaptations done. But he's done the best. With the radio dramas. And that's why, if you call now and pledge $60 to WBAI at 212-209-2950, where I know you can get right through because no calls are currently coming in, you can get over 20 hours of material, some of which will be absolutely exclusive to this offer, because I'm making some of it available. Well, do it now.
And a ton of Ray Bradbury's work has been adapted into comic books.
That's right.
EC was the first to adapt it, putting Ray Bradbury's name
for all this
stuff on the cover in big letters. Except they never got permission from Ray Bradbury.
Oh, though that
to
that,
adapt his stories.
That's not a new
thing.
So
he contacted them, and basically they apologized. They wrote back to him right away. And he said that what they did with his work was so good that he wasn't going to sue them or anything. He just wanted some credit.
He wanted his credit, and he probably wanted at least, you know, the minimum.
He wanted the courtesy of asking.
That the Science Fiction Writers of America would, and I'm wearing their shirt, as everybody listening to the radio can see, that they would demand.
And Julie Schwartz,
still goes on, by the way. This still goes on ebooks.
Julie Schwartz, who was a great comic book editor in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s.
The great comic book editor. You say A.
The top ever. I would put Sheldon Mayer in that. But anyway, The Flash, Green Lantern were done under his watch. And he was the agent for Ray Bradbury. He sold the first several dozen of Ray Bradbury's stories.
Really?
They were close friends.
Yeah, he would come over where Ray was selling newspapers on the corner to hand him his checks.
Wow. That's, okay. That's, yeah. Well, as time goes on, as we have more time on Hour of the Wolf, if we're not completely taken over by fund drives, and on Golden Age of Radio and on Mass Backwards, we will have more Bradbury programming this month, including Ray himself talking. So, you know, honor this and honor WBAI for doing this.
So how many hours of Ray Bradbury do you get on those two CDs?
We don't know.
I've totaled up what I can think of off the top of my head, and I'm coming up with 21 hours. But however, whatever space is left over, I've got
other great science fiction stuff.
Other adaptations in long form.
Yeah, you see what I would say? I would say, you know, it's fine to do
21 hours with $60.
It's fine to do the Clark and the Le Guin and all that. I think that should almost be a separate premium. When you get to the greats of science fiction, you know, you have the ABCs. The ABCs are Asimov, Bradbury, Clark. And then if you want, there's Heinlein, you know, because he also belongs. And then in the next tier, you have the other greats like Ted Sturgeon and Frederick Pohl and all that. But the ABC is Asimov, Bradbury, Clark. And I would consider making it the ABCs of science fiction radio.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Could be done.
Yeah, could be done. So that might be a good theme.
Like, you know, I just had the inspiration for this because, you know, between a request for the Golden Age of Radio and the fact that I had just dubbed off the CBS Radio Workshop, they did Hail and Farewell, starring Dick Beals. Now, you know, I wish we had gotten Dick Beals. You know him as Speedy Alka-Seltzer.
Oh, my God.
He's an actor.
I knew the name, though.
Who is the size of a child. He never developed secondary male. You know, he basically was a child.
Oh, this is like...
And the story is about a guy who never grows old. He's always a child.
This is like, who was the actor
going
who
from
played Sherman
family.
In the Jay Ward stuff? He was another one who had that same...
Was it Dick Beals? I don't know.
Maybe you're thinking, now you see, I'm blanking on his
Walter
name.
Walter Tetley, maybe.
That's it. Walter Tetley.
Okay. But, I mean,
Walter Tetley was Sherman. As in Peabody and Sherman, and he was in The Great Gildersleeves.
Well, and the Phil Harris Alice Faye show.
Right.
He was the foil. He was, you know, their biggest enemy, Julius Abruzzo, the grocery delivery boy.
Okay.
Who, when he saw Phil up in a tree, couldn't get down, he would, you know, light a fire under him.
Yeah. Speaking of lighting a fire under people, we have basically 12 minutes left to raise money, and so far, all the money that we have raised this morning, $230, we did before 6 a.m. And now, you know, Gene Shepherd talks about the day people and the night people. Well, we have the difference between the day people and the night people here on Hour of the Wolf. There's the 5 to 6 a.m. listeners and the 6 to 7 a.m. listeners. I know many of you out there are both. But nevertheless, let's make sure that the 6 to 7 a.m. listeners aren't outdone by the night people, by the 5 to 6 a.m. listeners, by calling now, as one person is currently doing, at 212-209-2950. $25 will make you a subscriber to WBAI and show your support for science fiction, fantasy, etc. radio here. Hour of the Wolf has been on the air since 1972, and not the only science fiction program we've had here on WBAI, but this one is my science fiction program. So, but $25 will make you a subscriber and do that. But $60 will give you this more than 20-hour, still being built, spectacular of Ray Bradbury celebrating his 90th birthday on two CDs, high quality, being put together for you by Max Schmid. But you need to call now, 212-209-2950. As it stands, I don't know if I'm on the air next week or not. They say I'm on from 5 to 6, but not from 6 to 7. And then the week after that...
Well, those people paid for it.
And that's a complete unknown the week after that. And that's the day before Bradbury's birthday. If we make a good showing now, I will be able to say, you need to put me on for that celebration of Bradbury.
And we can actually hear that interview.
And we'll actually be
tape.
Able to hear that, the gummy Bradbury interview. So 212-209 800-259-2950. Please call now. Please pledge now. One person
Max
is
putting a lot of work into something that's only available on WBAI.
This is an exclusive. You know, you may get those radio dramas here and there, and then you'd still have to collect them. You'd still have to get the copies. But you're not going to get the interview I did. You're not going to get these other materials. And you're not going to get the insight and the compilation expertise, which is being put together for hours and hours and hours. And most importantly, all of this shows to go your support for listener-sponsored radio and for science fiction serious and comedic, for that matter, science fiction radio on WBAI.
Yes. Remember Sheckley, my friend.
Absolutely remember Bob Sheckley. And we're going to be doing a whole Bob Sheckley thing in November. 212-209-2950. More announcements about that, but it's going to be way cool. Sturgeon. I'm going to be doing stuff with Noel Sturgeon.
He's a doctor who cut you open when he was sick.
She will be in town in October, and I'm going to be doing some work with her. I got to do a reading at ReaderCon. There were 16 hours of Sturgeon readings at ReaderCon this year. And the last book in the Complete Theater
like
Sturgeon
Day.
Is just out. And the profits are going to Paul Williams, who put them together, the first fanzine creator, a man who created rock criticism with Crawdaddy Magazine.
Oh, not the diminutive actor.
In 1961. No, the
not
great
the host
Paul
of
Williams.
UFO Desk. Not the...
the great Paul Williams, who suffered a severe injury in a bike accident and basically is a vegetable today.
Two callers on the line.
A deal of money to support him.
Don't sit there and like a vegetable.
212-209-2950. Excellent. Intrario.
Visa, MasterCard, American Express. We can even send you a bill.
We can even, I think, do PayPal.
If you want to play with the...
You can go online. If you're listening to this as an archive, if you're listening to this outside of 5 to 7 a.m. by listening to the archive on WBAI, you can go to the website.
And demand. They send you the Ray Bradbury 2-CD Premium. 212-209-2950.
We have, but 8 minutes left in which to raise money. Two calls are coming in. Let's get more than, we need more than a flurry of calls. We need a snow footprint. We need a blizzard. We need a whole bunch of calls. We're expected.
A whole bunch of butterflies worth of calls.
A whole bunch, exactly. A whole bunch, yeah, exactly. Don't stand on that butterfly. Don't change the future. Make the future one with WBAI.
Do change the future. Make WBAI solvent by calling 212-209-2950.
Solvent?
There are a number of possible futures for WBAI. There are a number of possible futures for this radio station.
Boy.
Some of them are not good to contemplate.
No. Yes, and actually, if you remember the end of A Sound of Thunder, you have Bradbury's huge fear of the totalitarianism, which is what will take over the world. In that's what happens. You step on a butterfly. It's not just that, you know, everybody develops third hands or something like that. It's that he comes back to a totalitarian future. It's a major theme in much of Bradbury's writing, that utter fear. I mean, The Passenger is one of my favorite stories on that. The guy just walking down the street.
I found a copy of that. That was one of the things that I found somewhere that
that's
was
a radio
included.
Drama? Yes. I would love to hear that.
I just found that one today.
I would love
just
to hear
just by accident,
that.
I just
remember reading that story when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and that story spooked me.
Ooh, well, here's
and
what,
it's a political story.
Here's what you get. Just some of what you get.
Just some, yeah.
The 3-hour Martian Chronicles compilation put together from Escape, from an ABC series called Think, from Dimension X, from X-1, and other sources as well. All cut together into an epic 3-hour radio drama. You get a
without Darren McGavin, but it's good, and a Rock Hudson.
You get a 4-part Canadian show of Dandelion Wine from the 1980s. They took some of the stories. Of course, there are about 30 in the book, but they've taken 4 of the main stories and done a 2-hour or 4 half-hour adaptation. The 90-minute movie adaptation with Orson Welles of Something Wicked This Way Comes. Jason Robards, it's the movie soundtrack with Orson Welles doing the
now
narration.
Now I remember that.
Yeah,
that.
And it's quite brilliant. It works well
there
for radio.
There was an LP, by the way, of the October Country. Very rare LP. I actually saw at one point had the jacket of the LP, but I never had the disc inside it.
Well, yeah, and the BBC did a lot of the horror stuff in more recent, much more recent periods.
Vintages, yes.
None of that is included, though. Because
because
BBC.
Well, what else is included?
Okay, well, you get about.
We have 5 minutes left.
I believe
by the
six
way.
Episodes of suspense that are basically your horror and creepy stories. You get the heartwarming stuff. Radio City Playhouse did an adaptation of The Wind, which is kind of a horror story. They also did something called The Lake about a lost love.
Ooh.
The little girl who...
Isn't that in October Country?
I'm not sure which book that's from, but I had dinner. I went to the Spurgevac convention and sat with Norman Rose, who was the narrator, and this was his first radio acting job. He had only done... Not Norman Rose. Who was it? I can't think of the he was basically an announcer, but he got this part to be the lead in this story, the only time he's ever appeared as an actor. So I got to give him that. At any rate, what else do we have? Well, you've got this stereo series that may find its way out there. Plus, there are over a dozen Dimension X and X-1 shows that aren't part of the Martian Chronicles. Not only that, but there are four different versions of Mars is Heaven. Fein and Friedkin took a crack at it. Other people, Kanoy, who adapted most of the things from
Ernest
Dimension
Kanoy,
X and X-1, took a crack at it. So there are four in the ABC series, so you can hear all these different versions, see how other people reacted and turned that into a radio work. So all of that is included and more.
But now that we have only 4 minutes left, which is why we're not going to be able to I'm sorry that we are not going to have time to read all the names, but we're out of time. And what we need to do now is we need to go into heavy, heavy phone number pushing. So you've heard what you're going to get. Well over 20 hours, plus the interview with Ray Bradbury, conducted by myself and Matthew Finch in 1999.
All freshly, digitally remastered, restored, and brought to you at proper...
And gummy-free.
Yes, brought to you at proper audio fidelity, as opposed to the stuff you could go out and find on your own.
212-209-2950 is the number to call and pledge now. It's now 5:32 and a half, and we go off at 5:56 and a half. So we have 4 minutes. 212-209-2950. Call now. There are no calls currently coming in. We need to, make a real serious dent in these numbers. If you want to hear more Ray Bradbury on Hour of the Wolf this month, one of the ways you're going to assure that Hour of the Wolf will continue during this fun drive is if we make money during the fun drive. And only then can I go to the powers that be and say, we're going to keep on doing this because we're making money here. And that's up to you. That's up to you to call now, to pledge now. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. We have $6. No, $60 being added to the tally.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Wait till you see how it adds up
coming
to what it adds up to.
212-209-2950.
You're getting close to $1,000.
Really?
Yes.
We shall see. But nevertheless,
let's make sure we get there.
It can't be.
By the way, just
212-209-2950 is the number to call. Call now.
I would say $950 is close to $1,000, Jim.
Oh, my God. You're absolutely
so,
right.
We broke $1,000. Thank you, everybody.
We're at WINS, 1010 wins, 212-209.
We're past it now.
Okay, fine. Keep going, gang. $2,000. Let's go for it.
I didn't see all these calls coming in.
I didn't see any of these calls coming in.
That's an aside,
well, they've
by
been
the way.
This is probably an hour's worth of calls that are being tallied right now because they were busy answering those calls and
but
didn't have a chance to let you
but
know.
But we haven't seen these lights going on is the problem. We're supposed to be notified in here. Let's get more sneak calls coming in.
My guess is what people did.
209-2950.
They asked for more than one copy. All right? If you pledge 120, you get two copies of all these.
We have 2 minutes.
There are a lot of people
only
I think who want to
give
these
to. Discuss now is the phone number 212-209-2950. Make a call.
There's
now.
A new call.
Keep
There's
the
a fresh call
going.
In.
Let's get a whole bunch more calls.
Get one for yourself.
In.
Get one for a friend.
Absolutely. Get one for Ken. Get one for Simon.
Get
and
one for
Max.
Your English professor.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was my sixth grade teacher, actually.
Did I mention that I had a rare form of TB when I was four? But that's neither here nor there.
212. I'm sorry. I called
the powers that,
up.
There
we are. 212-209-2950. As Ken was saying, give gifts. Get a whole bunch of people to donate. Our tally is now at $1,130. That is fabulous. That is really great. Let's keep that going. Let's keep that momentum going. Call and pledge.
Ray Bradbury is one of the ABCs of science fiction. I think we're seeing the results of that.
It was really ABCH.
And stand by, because another literary great follows in 5 minutes here on WBAR.
Oh, and what is the topic this morning? Do you have a specific topic?
Yes,
or just
indeed. The Fool.
Ooh, The Fool. I've read his stuff. 212-209-2950.
I heard his report to the listener.
So is this something that we should be leering at?
Day after day.
I figured alone as much. 212-209-2950 is the number to call and pledge. But there's no storm
with
outside.
20
aren't
seconds
to
go.
Storm to, no. Oh my God, you're right. I haven't even queued up the outro. You guys say something.
Well, last call for this particular period to get your Bradbury double CD set. It's MP3 radio programs, adaptations of everything I can find, and maybe some things I haven't even thought of yet, that are going to be part of this 20-plus hour collection of Ray Bradbury science fiction, horror, and heartwarming human drama.
21 hours on two MP3 CDs.
Including an exclusive, not broadcast actually in a number of years, as can be attested to by the fact that Max has to rebuild, restore the reel-to-reel tape of the episode of Shelf Life with Bradbury. So listen, and that's exactly it. Listen, 212-209-2950 is the number to call and pledge. Thank you all for calling, for pledging. This has been Marvy. I didn't really see any of those calls coming in. Thank you, Ken. I don't know.
That's why I'm thinking that people are getting more than one copy.
Well, that could very well be.
And why not?
And calls are still coming in. We currently have a tally of 11:30. The theme is running, but it's in the background, which is why I'm still talking.
By the way, several of these shows are from a series called Theater 1030, but that's neither here nor there.
Ah, indeed. And SF-69 was one of them as well. That's the South African one, isn't it?
68.
Or 68, SF-68, yes. Right, yeah.
Probably spanned into 69. But
yeah, that could very well be. But we will have more. I am hopeful that we will have more since we have done well this morning. So thank you all for listening. Thank you, Ken Gale. Thank you, Max Schmid. Thank you, Simon Lokley.
Thanks to all the volunteers in the back, the tally people, and mostly to the people who have called and shown they care enough to send the very best.
Indeed. Stay tuned to WBAI now and in the future. Good morning.
If we have
do visit ourwolf.com for more information. Take care.
And you are tuned to WBAI 99.5 on your FM dial here in New York City. If you are not listening to the radio, but listening online, then you have undoubtedly discovered WBAI.org. So much then for that legal business. You are tuned to Stay Tuned. And as you may have already gathered, 'tis yet another fundraising spectacular here at WBAI. We used to call them marathons because it was a long haul to get to the end. But sometime in the 90s, management decided that marathon was undignified. And so we now are told to refer to them as fundraisers. And it's not enough that there is the difficulty of just simply fundraising, but they like to put little extra challenges on me. And consequently, I find that I have to do, you know, just like I believe it was the Red Queen who once remarked, it takes all the running I can do to stay in the same place. And consequently, I'm already exhausted and I haven't even begun. Because another, the tradition in fundraising, in the marathon, I'm an old timer, is that, you know, you do your program, blah, 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 and you give the phone number stuff. But in the last 20 minutes or so, you put out the final push to really convince that the program was worth it, and now everyone's together, and you get this sudden burst, as it were, of solidarity. And this would often work because, you know, you build up slowly until somehow we have managed to convince you that calling this radio station and pledging your financial support to this radio station really is the right thing to do. But once again, in an effort to be more professional, they now frown upon this form of fundraising because they consider it to be showboating. And good Lord knows, we don't want no showboats around here. Old man, a river. No, they don't want showboating around here. Well, you know, it's worked for me, more or less worked for me, for a long, long time. But if they don't want showboating, far be it from me to showboat, if one can say that. Consequently, it all goes back to you. And yes, I know, here you are. You're just waking up. Or maybe you have been so taken by the Ray Bradbury promises and programs that you have heard this morning. You're up, you're about, but, you know, you got to make that little bit of effort to get over to the phone. And you were waiting for me to help you. Well, not this morning, friends, because you're going to have to do it as much as you can on yourself, on your own, and right now. I know. I haven't done anything yet, and, you know, I can't count on your memory saying, well, that was a good program 18 weeks ago. But you're going to have to do it right now. And I'll tell you why. Because at the way things work here, there is a bizarre scheduling gaffe in the morning lineup, which means that between 8 and 8:30, your calls are likely to go unanswered. I don't know why that is, but that seems to be the case. Therefore, while we have volunteers who are still alert enough, pardon the expression, alert enough to actually answer the phone and take down the information they require and which you will cheerfully provide, might I not suggest, and why not indeed, might I not suggest that you just call now as an act of good faith, 212-209-2950. That is the number to call. I want you to write that down because Lord knows I haven't done anything yet, but I might. And when I do, I want you to call. And I want you to call with the generous donation of a mere $50 this morning. I don't know, I just plucked that out of the air. Frankly, you can do as much or as little as you want, but $50 keeps it nice, for, well, on the mathematics side. It's always easy to add up 50s, while that $17.22 just throws the whole sheet off. Yeah, holy sheet indeed. 212-209-2950. That is the number for you to call to support this radio station, perhaps even to support this peculiar program. But because time's a-wasting, and I do have a summer series to get on with, I turn now to you and ask you, out of the goodness of your heart, with your long memories and your bright eyes, you dig it in a way that, well, thousands don't. Yes, the happy few. 212-209-2950. Now, ultimately, in the course of this morning, we hope to receive many calls. And though each call is made individually, it does, in fact, add up to an imaginary or imagined community of like-minded people. Not entirely like-minded. We have plenty of things that we can disagree about, but we are like-minded in this, and perhaps in this only. We are here together now. Saturday morning, just a wee bit past 7, at a radio station that, generally speaking, makes not a sou in profit. Now, we used to say that it's a non-commercial radio station, more or less, I suppose. But I can tell you this, I'm non-commercial. Yes, that's right. I have no premiums. I have no incentive to give money to this station, other than the fact that you're there, I'm here, and over the years, we've come to a kind of understanding. 212-209-2950. I look forward to your great response, because now is the time for you to act responsibly. And as our good friend Mr. Spike Lee Jones used to say, do the right thing. Call us now. 212-209-2950. And in return, my side of the deal, I think I will give you as much of a program this morning as I possibly can. So your continued calls means less interruption with a phone number. Your continued calls means a rosy future for WBAI. And speaking on a personal basis now, your continued calls means that I am not completely insane and alone, that being locked up in this dark little room for 90 minutes a week is not a complete waste of time. It's a little waste of time, but it's not a complete waste of time. Good morning, comrades. Welcome aboard for this, the 7th day of August in the year 10. The time is now 7 past 7. Time, once again, for As I Please. good morning, and welcome aboard. As I please, turns now to the summer series for this summer of 2010. And as I remarked last week, I'm glad to see July go, but August, well, a little better, perhaps. But, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we were complaining about the heat, which is common enough. And this summer, it's so hot, it's so humid. And we were talking about the fact that, you know, we're not getting any younger. And my friend said, you know, I used to say, oh, I can take it, I can take it. And there was almost a certain amount of joy in a New York City summer, knowing what it was going to be like and bearing it. But now, my friend says, now he says, I'll just pay the bill. And speaking of paying the bills, you know this is a listener-sponsored radio station. How's that for a smooth segue? Well, perhaps it wasn't all that smooth. Well, are you ready for some fooling around? Goody. So am I.